Ivan, my friend, how are you doing today?
I'm very well, and you?
I am awesome. Thank you so much for joining me this afternoon. I have been counting down the days until we get to have our interview. I'm so happy that you're here. For everyone else who doesn't know who you are, you know, give us a backstory on who you are. You don't have to give us the full details because we'll get into that in the interview. But tell us, who is Ivan and, you know, how much you love the Lord.
Amen, amen. It's a great privilege to be here. It's a great privilege to be speaking my testimony. Thank you very much for this opportunity. So my name is Ivan. Just to give you guys some little feedback on who I am. I was born in Chile, South America.
Oh.
Yeah, lived most of my life here in South Africa. I grew up in South Africa. I made a lot of wrong decisions in my life. I was with the wrong people and made a lot of mistakes that cost me 2 decades of my life. And I'm here today to share my story with you all, only to glorify the Father, to magnify His power, and to give you all hope out there that if you let Jesus into your life, man, anything is possible.
Indeed,
indeed. And I am living proof of that. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And you know, when you said you wasted 20 years of your life, I wouldn't see it as a waste. I think more so of, you know, it became the background to who you are now.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? It might not be what you have would have wanted it to be as part of your journey, but it's now become the background of who you are today.
Amen.
You know?
Amen.
And I mean, imagine I've never heard your story. We've had the conversation, you've told me your story. I mean, the first day we met, you told me your testimony, and I just felt like I need to share this with everyone. So imagine I've never heard your story and we're meeting for the first time. Where did it all begin for you? Did you grow up in the faith, or was it a Jesus encounter that you had?
So, growing up in Chile, South America, I remember my grandfather used to take me to church with him. But I wasn't there for long. And, you know, when I was little, it was difficult for me to understand what was being taught at the church. I was more worried about playing and being with friends. And anyways, we moved to South Africa, and I never went to church. I never grew up in a house where we went to church on Sundays, or we read Bible, or we had fellowship. That was completely absent in my life.
Yeah.
And I believe with all my heart that the reason why I walked the road that I walked was because of the absence of God in my life. We grow up being ignorant. We grow up not knowing who our real Father is. I remember 4 questions, always asking myself these questions, that I never had the answer to these questions. And that was, who am I? Why am I here? What do I need to do? And where am I going? And I never ever had the answers to these questions until I met Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior.
Another question that I believe everyone has deep down inside, whether they're a Christian or not, they keep asking themselves, who am I? Where am I going? What is expected of me? You know, those questions that you have asking yourself, I also believe it is something that God has implanted in all of us.
Exactly.
Because it builds the need to seek Him.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
And from hearing you saying that when you were little, your grandfather used to take you to church, you know, I come from a household where I grew up in the church. And yes, I wasn't entirely faithful in my entire journey with God. Because of the foundation that was laid in my life, I constantly felt the pulling of the Holy Spirit, and which eventually pulled me back to Him. And it was through that I learned that not everyone has a road to Damascus, you know. And that's what I had been looking for my whole life. What was the turning point for you? What happened for you to just turn to God?
Okay, so just to basically give you a short version of my testimony, because I lacked identity and because I lacked a relationship with my earthly father, my earthly father is a wonderful man. I love him with all my heart, and I honor him today. I never had a relationship with my worldly father because my father was always working. Mm. He worked hard to give us the life that he wanted us to have. And today I honor him for that. Mm. But I basically grew up with just my mom taking care of me, looking after me. My dad was a provider, but...
The emotional support.
When it came to emotional support and mental support, I never had that.
Mm.
And hence it was easy for me to get involved with the wrong people.
Mm.
And it was easy for me to do the wrong things and to make the choices and decisions that I made in life.
Mm.
So going into high school, I started using substances. I started drinking. I started skipping class. I eventually had to leave school.
Mm.
In standard 9, because I just wasn't coping,
because
I was never there, and it was just horrible for me to be at school. So I left school, and I started working, and you know, working and not being mentally balanced, emotionally balanced, I started using the finances that I used to gain for all the wrong things. Which dug my hole even deeper. So my addiction took me to a point in my life where I had completely nothing. Let me tell you, for days I would use substances, I would have no food to eat, and I would just basically be a walking corpse. Physically, mentally, and spiritually. And it took me to a point in my life where I was overdosing on a daily basis. And I was trying to commit suicide by overdosing. And I started praying. I started praying in my addiction because I hated who I'd become. I hated who I was. And I hated what I was doing to people. You know? Let me tell you, for a long time, from the age of 26 to 32, I really tried to stop. I really tried to stop taking drugs, using alcohol, doing all the bad things that I was doing. But I just couldn't manage to get it right. And let me tell you that the more I tried, the worse I got, the more people I hurt, the more chaos that are caused around people's lives. And what happened was, one day I said to myself, okay, I'm going to try and stop this. And I completely isolated myself. All right? So I took all social media devices, electronics, threw them away, and I locked myself in my house for about 10 months.
What?
And in those 10 months, I had no communication with anyone from the outside world, only my family members. And let me tell you, in those 10 months that I tried to stop all of this, I became more suicidal, more depressed, more psychotic, and I just didn't understand as to how, if I'm trying so hard to do the right thing, why is this happening to me? Why am I so unhappy? Until I said to God one day, Father, I cannot live like this anymore. I will rather go back to that life that I was living, because living in that life, I could still smile. I could still laugh. And let me tell you, I went back to that life, right? After the 10 months of being completely isolated, I went back, and that was my longest relapse. It was like a 3-year relapse.
Wow.
And it was really bad. I used a lot of substances in the 3 years that I had relapsed. To tell you, if my eyes were open, I was using. The only times I wasn't using was when I was sleeping. And majority of the time I was awake. So I was presented with a godly encounter one day. I believe with all my heart that there is one prayer that God does honor. And that prayer is, Father, if you are real, show yourself to me. Father, I want to live for you. Please bless me with a godly life. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you're doing. It doesn't matter where you come from. I believe with all my heart that no matter how much evil you're involved in, if you can open your heart to God and say those words and ask Him to come into your life, I promise you that He will answer that prayer. He will honor that prayer, because this is what happened to me. This is the prayer that I prayed. And let me tell you that it was shortly after I said that prayer, I found myself in a faith-based rehabilitation center. And how I came to give my life to Jesus was God exposed Satan to me. My whole life I thought Satan was a cartoon character. My whole life I thought Satan was someone that is not real, someone that you just see as a cartoon on a TV program. And let me tell you, when I walked into this faith-based rehab center, the things that I saw in this place was what made me grab my Bible so fast and start reading the Word of God. And it was shortly after I started reading the New Testament. Reading the New Testament gave me my identity. It gave me those answers that I always had questions to, and that was, who am I? Why am I here? What am I doing? And where do I need to go? It was 2 weeks before I gave my life to Jesus Christ. I was sleeping in our room. I shared a room with 9 people. And the one night I had an experience that I have no memory of. Only the people that were there obviously know about this.
So they witnessed the experience.
Oh, it, yes. Okay. So what happened was, I woke up the one morning to go and present myself at the breakfast table.
Okay.
And I shared the table with the same roommates that I used to share a room with. And they all started asking me questions like, what happened last night? Are you okay? Do you remember what happened? Because when they saw the look on my face, they could tell that I didn't know what they were talking about. In my sleep at night, my hands took hold of my neck and my own hands tried to take my life.
What?
And let me tell you that these guys had to get out of their beds and they had to wrestle me and they had to obviously take my own hands off my neck.
Eva.
And I believe with all my heart that I was demonically possessed. And I believe with all my heart that that is one of the reasons why I could not stop doing what I was doing. Because the evil things that were living inside of me were just too strong for me to try and
fight it off yourself.
Fight it off myself. I needed the power of God. I needed the Holy Spirit to save me from what was happening inside of me. Just to give you a quick testimony on how powerful the Word of God is, I must share this with you. So let me tell you, the Bible is a book that I always had next to my bed for the 32 years that I was alive. And never once did I bother to pick it up, because when I looked at it, I thought, yo, this book is just too big.
It's
where
so
do
big.
I start? You know?
It
was just overwhelming. So it was just a book that was sitting on the side of my bed as a decoration. And let me tell you that from the age of 25 to 32, I really tried hard to come right. And I read a lot of books. I read a lot of spiritual books. I read a lot of the wrong books, the wrong literature, you know, like New Age religion. And I did a lot of the things that these books were asking me to do. And at the time, it felt good what I was doing, but the fruit of my life got worse and worse and worse. I tell you this, when I when I got to this faith-based rehab center, Pastor Dave, he still asked me, son, how have you lived your life? And I explained to him how I'd lived my life. And he asked me, who is your God? Who is your Father? And I followed by replying, my dad's name is Eduardo. And he said, no, no, no. Who is your God? And I said to this pastor, I believe in God. I pray to God. And this pastor looked at me and said, son, the way you've lived life, you belong to Satan. He has been your father all these years. And that's why you have lived the way that you have been living all these years, because he's been in control of your mind, your thoughts, your emotions, your actions, and that's why you are where you are today. And this pastor still heard that I tried to come right by myself. He knew that I'd thrown all social media away and that I was in a house for 10 months and I just got worse. He explained it to me like this. He took me to the Bible and he gave me one scripture, just one scripture that summed up my entire addiction. And that scripture was the one from Matthew 12 verse 43, where it says, when an evil spirit leaves a temple, it travels through the desert looking for a place to rest. But when it finds none, it goes back to the temple it came from. And when it finds that temple clean, empty and tidy, it goes out and it finds seven other demons worse than itself. And they all come and live in that temple, and that person lands up in a worse state than ever before. And that scripture, I asked him to explain it to me, and he said to me, this is how it is. So you stop drinking, you stop smoking, you stop doing drugs, you stop doing all the evil things that you were doing. Your temple became clean and tidy. But what's the third one? Empty. 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 This is the one I didn't understand. He said, son, your temple was empty all the time. If your temple does not possess the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, anything can enter you and leave you when it wants and how it wants. And this made such perfect sense. All these years of reading all these books. And he took me to one scripture in the Bible that gave me the answer that I was seeking. And let me tell you, I fell in love with the Bible. I fell in love with the Word of God. And I just started reading it. I started with the New Testament, finished the New Testament, carried on with the Old Testament. And that Word transformed me. It renewed me. It opened up my eyes to all truth. I encourage everyone out there, whoever is lost, no matter what situation, what circumstance you're facing, the Word of God will give you all the answers you need. Trust Him. Trust Him with all your heart.
You know, your testimony is so powerful, Ivan, because from listening to what you're saying, quite a lot of people might think there was no going back. There was no way that you could find yourself out of that space. If you're constantly in a space of the moment your eyes are open, you're already intoxicated or you're high. You know, when does your mind tell you it's okay to stop now? But I think the foundation that your grandfather laid when you were young, taking you to church, is what even pushed you to start praying, even in that space that you found yourself in, to even make the decisions to say, you know what, I want to put myself away. You want to isolate yourself. Sure, it wasn't done, you know, the best way possible, because like you mentioned, the three things that the pastor mentioned to you, the third thing was the empty space. You know, had it been done in a different way, you would have known that, you know, we need to invite God into that space so that no other demon or no other spirit can try and infiltrate that space again and stronger, you know. And from hearing these, this journey that you had to go through, it makes me think about all these different trials that different people would have to go through in life. And sometimes we might think whatever we're going through is too heavy for us. But it is through the trials of life that one demonstrates and gives witness to their true core beliefs. For example, Christians can experience suffering, tough challenges in their lives, and prayers that go unanswered. sometimes when we, when our prayers are not answered, we believe that God is not even listening to us, you know. And a person can also believe in healing and yet not have experienced a full or complete healing, or sometimes even lose a loved one because they've been praying for healing but it hasn't come yet. In such situations, how can we explain God's omnipotence with such difficult situations?
Well, what we all need to understand is, yes, becoming a Christian, becoming a child of God, does not mean that we will not suffer.
Mm.
The Bible says that we will go through what Jesus went through, and yeah, we must always keep that in mind. We must always remember that, and we must always be proud to suffer for our Savior as He suffered for us. Now, some people don't get to experience healing or whatever they've prayed for. But we go to the scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. It says, "So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." Now, when I read this, I want you guys all to know that our true, real heavenly reward is not here on this earth. It's in heaven.
Indeed.
So we must equip our minds with the knowledge of knowing that it's not going to be easy. It's going to be tough, because once you become a child of God, that's when Satan comes up against
you. Exactly.
When you don't know God, when you don't belong to God, He's not bothered. He doesn't care about you.
That's where He wants us.
Exactly. It's when you have given yourself to God and you become a godly child. That's when the battle begins. That's when He starts with you. But take heart, Jesus has already overcome the world.
Indeed.
And our true reward is in heaven, not on this earth. We will receive blessings on this earth, but our real reward is in heaven, when we get to be with the Father, when we leave this place.
Oh, amen, amen.
Amen.
So now you find yourself in a space where you've fully given your life to God. You know, God has taken control and you live for Christ, amen, right? And what does biblical stewardship mean to you?
Well, it's everything that we need to be, because it's part of our transformation. It's part of our minds being renewed. We become more like Jesus. Therefore, we need to do what Jesus did. We need to share our testimony. We need to go out there and love others and help others and encourage others. It's our testimonies that defeat Satan. Because it's our testimonies that give people hope and that inspire people and that magnify God the Father. So obviously with me, whenever I get the chance to glorify the Father, I'm always there and my mouth is loud and I'm open to sharing everything that He's done for me, because this is what we need to do so that people can know how real He is, how much He loves us, how much we need Him, and how He holds our purpose in His hands.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, why are you saying that? You reminded me of a scripture that says, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." So even in the times where you, because I've seen whenever you want to share testimony with different people, the amount of joy that is in your face. So we get to even experience that. And and scripture even says we overcome by the power of the testimonies, right? Amen. So by you sharing your testimonies, people get to experience the joy that you're receiving from God. They get to experience that. And that's what makes people come to Jesus. We don't need to force people to come to God.
Amen.
They need to experience Him through our lives.
Amen.
So hearing you say that, I can be witness to say I've seen it from how you would interact with the different people and how you are with the different people around you, you know. And do describe for me one way, if you have more, that would be awesome, but one way in which God has used you to positively influence another person's life spiritually.
I've been waiting to share this. Thank you for asking that question. So in my past, I had a friend, a Portuguese friend. His name is Richard de Sá. and we were in addiction together. My friend was not really into drugs, but he did drink a lot. He used to drink every day, and we were very close friends. When I gave my life to Jesus, when I gave my life to God, I made myself a promise that I would never go back. I would never go back to that life or to anyone that could possibly lead me back to doing all the things that I used to do. So I moved forward, I walked forward, and I never had any contact with anyone from my past for a good 7 years. And one morning I woke up, and I was shaken. I was very sad, and my wife noticed that there was something wrong. And my wife said, "What happened?" And I said to her, "Babe, I had a very bad dream." And she said to me, "Well, what was it about?" And I said to her, "I had a dream that a very good friend of mine from my past passed away." And I'm just very sad. It felt so real. It felt so vivid. And my wife encouraged me to contact that friend and to see how he's doing. And at first I was like, "No, it's just a dream." And my wife persisted. "Give that friend a phone call. See what's happening. Maybe it's God that's speaking to you." And I thank God that I listened to my wife that morning, because I did exactly what she asked me to do. I picked up the phone and I phoned Richard and I said, "Hi, Richard, how are you?" And Richard replied, "Ivan, is this really you?" I said, "Yes, my brother, how are you?" And my friend was in hospital.
What?
At the age of 37, dying of heart failure.
What?
His heart was functioning at 19%, if I remember correctly. And when he told me this, I knew that I had to go to him and share my testimony with him. So I asked him, "What hospital are you in?" He gave me the name of the hospital. I got dressed, I jumped in my car, and I raced to go and see him. When I got to the hospital, I had a lot of fears inside of me. I thought that he was going to think I'm crazy, because I was going to speak about Jesus. I was going to speak about what my father has done for me. But I went with courage and boldness, and also with pride, because it's a great privilege to honor the Father in heaven. And when I shared my testimony with my brother Richard, he gave his life to Jesus in that hospital, on that bed. And let me tell you that when he came out of hospital, right, Richard stopped drinking, he stopped smoking, he stopped eating unhealthy. He completely, completely started living a godly life.
Sure.
Today, he is a father of two beautiful boys. Today, his heart is functioning at a normal rate, which is great news. And he's really, really following God with his entire heart. And I can see God's blessing not only on his life, but also over his entire household. God is blessing him inside out, mentally, physically, and spiritually. He's a completely transformed and renewed person.
That's so beautiful, because hearing the story, it's constant proof that our lives are not just for us.
Exactly.
The life we live is for those around us. You know what I mean?
Amen.
And you answering to the call to God influenced your friend.
Amen.
And him answering the call to God has now influenced his whole family. Now imagine the generations that would come out of that, from that decision, that one decision.
Amen.
You know?
Amen.
Ah, that is so beautiful. So, Ivan, I would love to keep you for a bit longer, but we are getting closer and closer to the end of our time together. Before I let you go, I would like, today is the last day of 2022. 2022 has been filled with a lot of ups and downs, highs and lows. What has been the highlight of your year?
Well, the highlight of this year for me and my wife and my children took place a couple of weeks back, where our Father in heaven spoke to us in such a way that we were all left with tears.
Oh.
And with goosebumps, and you know how it is when you feel the presence of God.
Yes.
So just to give you a short story. So it's been a tough 2 years. Mm. A lot of change has taken place at work. And, you know, our finances aren't what they should be. But we've been pressing on prayer and trusting God for provision, which He has provided. But one afternoon, I got home.
Mm.
Now, I have the twins in front of the TV, and I have my two older daughters in the room. They're busy with their homework, and I'm busy making food and singing some praise and worship while I make food. Mm. And the TV is on the channel that shows the outside parking area.
Mm.
I was trying to find the remote to put something for the twins, but I couldn't find it. I decided to leave it because they were playing nicely with their toys anyways.
Mm.
So as I'm making food, I realized that the channel on the TV changed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for the channel to change, it's quite technical. You need the remote. You've got to go to a whole different HDMI to go to a different channel. So I see the screen on the TV.
So is this the channel for normal TV or channel for CCTV?
It's not even CCTV, nor is it the HDMI for the camera outside.
Okay.
So this is what's so heavenly, you will hear now.
Yeah.
So the screen changed to a sky blue screen, and mm-hmm. it had white puffy writing in the center of it. So straight away, I start looking for the remote. I think maybe the babies found the remote and they've changed the channel, or they pushed a button on the remote. And I go to look where the babies are, and the remote's nowhere near to be found. I go to the girls' room. They don't have the remote. I go back to the food station. I carry on making food, listening to praise and worship. And it's pressing on me to go and look what is written on the center of the TV.
Mm.
As I walk to the TV, I read, "The burdens on your shoulder."
Mm.
This is what the white puffy writing was saying.
On the screen, yeah.
And I took a book and I wrote that message down straight away because I realized that God is talking now. This is something unexplainable, but this is God that's speaking to me. And as I get back to the food station, I realize that that remote has been close to me the whole time. So there's no ways that anyone could have touched anything because it's right here by me.
Mm.
So anyways, I take the remote and I change the channel. Shortly after, my wife gets home. And I explained to her what had happened. I said, "Babe, I really need to explain this to you. This is unexplainable. God is talking to me."
Mm.
I explain this to my wife and she starts getting tears in her eyes. We hold each other. I go into a room and I pray and I start thanking God. And as I'm praying, I just start crying because I'm just feeling the presence of God in my life and in our house. After praying, I go back out. My wife and I hold each other. And as we're hugging, my one daughter comes out of the room.
Mm.
And she says, "Daddy, I have a song that I would really like to play for you. And this song is just for you."
What?
They don't know what's happened. They don't know nothing.
Yeah.
And she plays the song, "I Will Carry You," by Ellie Holcomb.
Yeah.
And in that song, it says there, "I will shoulder your burdens."
Oh.
So this for us was like, thank you, Father.
Yeah.
Thank you for speaking to us. And thank you for showing us that you are with us during these difficult times.
Mm.
So that was the highlight of our year.
Oh, that was amazing. Wow.
Amen.
Right? And it's so beautiful how God can use anyone, absolutely anyone, to speak into your life and any situation. Like, we keep putting him in a box and saying, no, but God can only speak to me in a specific way. And if he doesn't say anything in this way, then it's not God.
Amen.
You know? But amen. I'm glad that you were able to just let him speak and take it in and look at what happened.
Amen.
Oh, my goodness. So coming up is the song that Ivan just shared about. It is "I Will Carry You" by Ellie Holcomb. And we are back with the lovely Ivan sharing his story, sharing about his encounter with God and his continuous growth with God. And I've got one or two more questions for you, Ivan, that I'd like for you to share with us. And then we can say goodbye to the listeners. So, Ivan, tell me, do you have any New Year's resolutions for 2023?
Most definitely. So, this is not just for me, it's for myself and my wife and my kids. Our New Year's resolution is to know God more, to live for Him more, and to give Him His rightful place in our lives. We can never know God too much. God is massive, man. He's humongous. And our resolution is to have a deeper relationship with Him, to experience Him the way His disciples experienced Him. That's how close we want to be with Him.
Wow.
Yeah, amen.
Amen.
And I think that that New Year's resolution will always be our New Year's resolution,
yeah,
up until the day we leave this place.
And then any more final words of wisdom that you'd like to leave with the listeners?
Most definitely. So, words of wisdom, Psalm 128. This is the psalm that I prayed in rehab when I was very lost. I had no hope. I was completely, completely destroyed physically, mentally, and spiritually. I prayed this scripture over my life, and it's exactly, exactly what I am living today. And the scripture says, the Lord will bless you if you respect and obey His laws. Your fields will produce, you will be happy, and all will go well. Your wife will be as fruitful as a grapevine. And just as an olive tree is rich with olives, your home will be rich with healthy children. This is how the Lord will bless you if you respect and obey His laws. I was on the streets. I was in the gutters. And let me tell you, giving my life to Jesus, living for Jesus, giving my whole heart to Jesus has taken me from that to where I am today. And today I am married to a beautiful, gorgeous, godly wife, a wife that loves God. And today we are blessed with four beautiful children, and which two of them are twins.
Oh.
So I have everything that I've prayed for. God has really honored all my prayers. And I encourage all of you, the Word of God is powerful. Pray the Word of God over your life and you will see it come to pass. This I promise.
Amen. Ivan, thank you so much for coming in today and spending the last day of 2022 with me and the Impact listeners. We truly appreciate your testimony. And I truly believed, I'm glad that we saved this for the last day, because this is a beautiful encouragement to anyone who's entering into the new year, figuring out what they want to do going forward, what they want their lives to look like going forward. We are going into January, where most churches do the fast, the 21-day fast in the beginning of the year. This is such a beautiful reminder that go back to Jesus, man.
Amen.
You know,
amen.
Look to Him, whatever challenges you're going through. Even while you're in that challenge or problem that you're facing, look to Him.
Amen.
Because He's the one that has the answers.
Oh,
you know
yes.
what I mean?
Oh, yes.
Thank you so much. Is there one other song that you'd like me to play for you?
Yes. Arms of Jesus by Kate Thompson.
Perfect.
That's a special song for me. In my life, it seemed like I was falling into hell at a stage. But when I prayed that prayer that God honored, which was to save me and to help me to live a normal life, I fell into the arms of Jesus and not into hell. So thank you for playing that song. I really appreciate it. And it's been a great privilege to share my story with you all.
Oh, thank you so much, Ivan.